from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking a lot of Mets, Yanks, obviously with Baldy. We did some NFLs. We start to turn our attention to football. And we're going to have to divide our attention for both the baseball and football, and I cannot wait for it. And eventually going to have the Knicks starting back up, and the Rangers can't wait for all of that. This is just the best time of the year. But something happened, BT, while we were on vacation that really bothered me, almost to the point where I recorded one of those videos. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm on vacation. Let me just wait, and BT and I can discuss this on Tuesday when we come back. This has nothing to do with Malik Nabers or really even the Giants necessarily. But the fact that they unretired a previously retired number is so beyond insulting to me. I fundamentally disagree with it. It's not that Nabers isn't good enough or can't live up to it. It's not that the Giants organization decided to do it. It's just in the big grand scheme of things, when a number is retired, that means it's retired. There's a reason for that. Not to mention that Ray Flaherty was the first jersey that was ever retired by a professional football player. Like, there is some significance beyond that too, but if you could just start picking apart retired numbers, then what's the value in retiring a number in the first place? Then just don't do it. So I'm not knocking Nabers here, but I have a major issue with the Giants unretiring Ray Flaherty's number one.
I really don't. I actually really like it. I love the way Malik Nabers spoke about this. You know, the responsibility to the Flaherty family to make sure he wears this properly. Now, I get it. It's not like they just ripped it down for the Raptors and said, here you go, Malik, it's all good.
Right.
You know, you've got to run it by the family. We've got to run it by the family, which I appreciate. Now, I will be open-minded enough to say that when you do that, you kind of put the family in a little bit of a rough spot.
What are you going to say?
No?
Yeah, you can't say no.
I look at it, and I get that part. Like, just on the human level.
I would say no.
Okay.
I feel like, you know what? That was my father's number. He earned that retirement.
Yep.
They retired it for a reason. Pick another one. One is not available.
I get that. You know what I would say? If it was my dad, I would say this is a way for my dad to be introduced to a large portion of football fans who have no idea who Ray Flaherty is.
Well, and truth be told, I didn't.
I've never said Ray Flaherty's name once.
Agreed. Never
in
heard
my
of
life.
Him.
If you said Ray Flaherty, I would have said, yeah, I probably played against him, some Irish kid from Bay Ridge, fifth grade CYO in the St. Pat's tournament.
Right.
Like, I would not have. I don't. And we know sports.
Right.
I honestly don't know the name.
Right.
To the point where I had to look it up. He played. It was right before the Great Depression, and he retired shortly before World War II.
Right.
This introduces the. I did research.
Yeah.
He was a coach, obviously. I'm not ashamed to admit.
Right.
I didn't even have really much of a cursory sense of who he was. I didn't. So by him, you know, by him wearing it, Malik Nabers, it forces me and others to at least, I would say refamiliarize, but it's really familiarize myself with his legacy, which I think is the best way to honor somebody.
Yeah, I look, that part of it, yes, so I can understand that. And I'm not trying to knock Nabers and say that he did something wrong. That he didn't. Players are allowed to ask or whatever.
Well, the Giants asked. He asked the Giants, but the Giants could have said no.
My issue is then why are we retiring numbers? Because too often it's, oh, this number is unretired. Then stop retiring numbers. Because what's the point of doing it? You retire a number because it's supposed to never be worn again. This individual, this player did something so special with this organization that number will never be worn again. And yet year after year, we see the same stuff. It doesn't happen all the time, but numbers have to be, they're going to unretire the number and give it to this guy only in this particular case. And there's going to be another one next year and the year after.
Well, Yamamoto, right? Yeah. Wasn't it, they're going to have to run it by...
I forget.
Right? Something with Yamamoto with the number, if I'm not mistaken.
And look, yeah. I give Rodgers credit because when he first came here, everybody was like, he's number 12. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is. Getting to a point where they expected him to reach out to Joe Namath and say, hey, can I unretire? Rodgers said, I'm not even going there.
Yeah, but hold on a sec now. And I know that happened. Hold on, though. Specific to the Rodgers thing, Tiki and I had Joe Namath on our show.
And he said he would do it. I know.
Yeah, it was all over the post. If you remember.
But still,
I straight up asked him. He's like, I want him to wear the number. Right. So if somebody gives you now Joe's still alive, and unfortunately, Mr. Flaherty's not. So the consent is not an option for Ray Flaherty, although his family is obviously able to do it or not do it. But, if Namath said yes, which he did to us on WFAN, and Rodgers wanted to honor him and the Jet legacy and do it, you think it would have been a bad thing?
It's still the point of the number being retired.
But the point of
this? How about we don't retire any numbers and just say, hey, this guy, you put a little plaque up or whatever you do, the Monument Park stuff, you could do something similar. Stop retiring jersey numbers if we're going to just unretire them.
Well, how many numbers are actually unretired? It's not like it happens every year.
It happens often enough to where it shouldn't even be a conversation.
But wait, when was the last time it happened here?
A number's retired.
I'm not saying there's none, but when?
I'm sure it's happened.
When was the last Yankee? What?
Oh, come on. The conversation comes up all the time.
Anybody asking to retire number 7 for Mickey or number 5 for Joe DiMaggio or number 3 for Babe Ruth or number 23 for Mattingly? To my recollection, the answer is no.
It'll happen at some point. Maybe the Yankees shut it down. Maybe they do ask.
Maybe you should get on the Giants.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
just getting on in general. It could be the Giants' fault, too. And, of course, they're acquiescing to the rookie who's accomplished exactly nothing. Well, I mean, they asked. Well, why wouldn't the Giants then just say, the almighty Giants organization, why wouldn't they just say, pick another number?
Okay, now, I do understand part of your anger.
And I'm not trying to knock them or Nabers. They're not the bad guys.
It's more of just a fundamental.
Yes.
Understood. But here's the thing. Like, I do think that, it's a little forward, like, all right, what are they going to say? No. I mean, it's kind of, he put him in a rough spot. But if the Giants asked the Flaherty family privately, which they did, they didn't tweet it. asked him privately. And if the Flaherty family said, with all due respect, we don't want this done,
we wouldn't even know about this. I know, but that's why I'm saying it's not the Flaherty family, certainly. It's not Nabers. It's not even the Giants.
I don't mind it. I think it's actually pretty cool.
Well, then why?
I do. Because it connects. It's a lineage thing. Number one, I think Malik Nabers is worthy because I think he's going to be amazing.
Right.
And I just think that it's really, when you read what he said and how he...
Understood. He handled it like a
professional. He gets the gravity. I just think he's going to represent that number amazingly.
Right, that's fine. Then just let's stop retiring numbers because it doesn't mean anything. Because the next guy next year, the Giants top pick next year, could say, I want to unretire that number. Give me a number. Pick a number that's retired. Gifford's number, whoever it may be. Yeah. Eli's 10.
92.
So what happens in 20 years from now when somebody's kid becomes a pro football player for the Giants? They're like, I really love the number 10, and I love 10. Can somebody call up Eli and see if he's on the phone or Eli's? Or then why retire the numbers? Why make a big pomp and circumstance about retiring everybody's numbers in sport only to have one day somebody ask if they could wear that number? Like, it just shouldn't be on the table. I understand that this may be a good thing. It's giving the Flaherty family attention, which is great. Hopefully Neighbors is a legitimate son. It has nothing to do with anti-Neighbors or the Giants. It has to do with the point is, it's like a dinner reservation, like Seinfeld used to say. The point is, when you make a reservation, to hold the reservation. Yeah, well, whatever it is in that particular case, it was a rental car. You make the reservation, that means you have the car reserved. Your retire number, that means it's retired. Cannot be worn again. That's the point of retiring it. And now, it's not.
Well, but hold on. When you say cannot be worn again, unless at the discretion of the family or the person who actually number is retired.
Yeah, then just say at the time, you know what? We're not going to retire.
Well,
it's nice.
Let me
ask
you this.
To do that, but someday, you know, somebody's going to want to wear that number. Let's just unretire.
Well, forget about our dads. Let's personalize it even more. If it was you.
Yeah.
As a player, you wouldn't be open to it?
I would be. I don't know if I'd care enough. But that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's on Neighbors or the Flaherty family or the Giants. I'm saying then, what is the point of the number retirement if one day somebody could say, hey, BT, you mind if I wear your number 23?
Yeah. My answer directly to the question would be, you know, what's the point of retirement or retirement ceremonies? Because 99% of the numbers that are retired remain retired.
Why do I feel like we're having this conversation quite a bit?
Well, we might be, but then tell me, like, who?
Yeah, I mean, I got to look up the examples.
Are they taking down the Buescher or Frazier or Willis Reed's number or Patrick Ewing's 33? Yeah. No.
Well, I mean, there was talk of it last. Actually, it might have been was it last summer or this summer with Doc? Remember, Doc couldn't have his number retired. Oh well, what if Ohtani wanted to come here? Would you let him wear it? It came up in conversation.
It came up with Keith Hernandez, and
Keith said no.
It bothered Keith. And remember, because that happened in the booth, and Keith was a little, I don't know, I'll say he was annoyed at Gary, but he was fairly dismissive. That's Keith's prerogative. Well,
but he's also right being that they retired the number for a reason. Like, number 31's retired by the Mets because Mike Piazza or 41. Yep. Like, it should not be, well, I grew up loving this player, or I really love 41. Hey, can the Seaver family unretire this number? It's just ridiculous. I'm not saying it happens often. It happens often enough. This is not just a one-off where it's never happened before and Neighbors asked to retire a number. Organizations do it. The fact that it came up with Rodgers even, whether you asked Joe Namath the question or not, like, the fact that it would even come up just shows you, like, the lack of respect for retired numbers. It means the number is retired, never to be worn again.
Yeah, we disagree. It's not a big deal. We disagree, though. I think that it could be seen as a sign of respect, you know, if it's handled the right way. And, you know, Malik Nabers seems to be that young man who's going to do that. Everything in his, you know, you don't know if he's going to stay healthy. Right. You don't know what kind of quarterback situation. But I think Malik Nabers is going to be a superstar.
Right.
I said that the day after he was drafted to you, you didn't love the wide receiver. Not him.
No.
You didn't love
the
fact that he took a wide receiver. I've loved him forever. I think the Giants crushed it. I think he's going to be the best player in the draft. I've also said that. And I think it is really, really a beautiful, cool thing that somebody who played football in 1927 for the New York Yankees, they weren't even the Giants.
Right.
They were the New York Yankees. I believe his first 2 years they were the Yankees, and then the next five or six they were the Giants, obviously, and he was a coach. Like, to pull the Flaherty family into 2024, 100 years later, to me, I think it's beautiful.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Angelo is in Brooklyn. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Sal, I agree with you 1,000%. Suppose Neighbors goes on to have a Jerry Rice-type career. No one's going to ever remember who Ray Flaherty was. They're going to
We didn't know who he was.
But they're going to associate number one with Malik Nabers.
I mean,
if I was the family, I would have denied the request.
Let me hold on, Angelo. One second. Understood, respected, appreciate the call. I hear number one. I think Mookie Wilson. You know, I hear number one. I think
Billy Martin.
Who's that?
Billy Martin.
Of course, Chris Childs for the Knicks. Like a couple of ones that jump out. I don't think Ray Flaherty. I didn't know anything about him.
All right, I understand that, but they did retire his number.
Yep.
Right, and that to me is the point. Thank you for the call, Angelo.
Thanks, bud.
And again, I want to just be clear. Like, I'm not picking on Neighbors or the Giants. It's a philosophy thing for me where I've seen it before. I'm trying to read up on some of the guys' numbers who have been retired.
I think Ken the Animal Bannister was number one as well. Billy Donovan wore number one as a Nick for a minute.
I mean, there's one that came up was Peyton Manning, who wore number 18. I guess it was retired before by the Broncos. Anyway, it's happened before, or even the conversation of it has happened before, and this time it went through, and the Giants unretired the number one. That's fine, like, for giving the Flaherty name and making it more relevant or in today's day and age. I do think there was a cool tie-in, as you said, the 100-year anniversary, all that stuff. But the fact that the guy earned the right to have his number retired and you unretire it, that's where I have a philosophy. It has nothing to do with Neighbors or Flaherty or the Giants specifically. Just in general, when a number is retired, whether it's a number 42 that's retired all across baseball, whatever it may be, if they decide to retire 24, there should be no exceptions.
What about when a person retires and then that person changes their mind? You give them a party. Oh, so-and-so's done. Hey, Joey, happy retirement, buddy. And then Joey comes back. Or
I don't think
our business, Mike comes back. Yeah. Mike retired. Mike was lauded rightfully. Mike decides to come back. Now, it's Mike's career. Mike unretired.
It also wasn't just his decision. The company
back. Understood, but if he didn't want to do it, then, I mean, it wasn't going to happen. So, and if the Flaherty family didn't, if they didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen.
Right. I understand that. I do think they're two totally different conversations.
I agree, but I think they're more intertwined than you think. I'm not saying that it's a very loose comparison. Like, I'm not saying it's perfect.
The better example would be if they retired a microphone that Mike used. And I was like, hey, you know what? I loved Mike. I worked with Mike. I'm friends with Mike. Look up to him, legend. I'd love to use his microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it to me. Like, that would be ridiculous. They retired the microphone again. I know it's just crazy talk. I'm just trying to give you a more
comparable.
Unless
Mike said, I think Sal's terrific on the air, and I love what he does, and I want him to hold that mic for the next however many years.
But they retired it. It means it can't be. When they go through the whole ceremonies, this number is retired, never to be worn again. Like, we go out there and we honor these players who have their jersey retired, sell out crowds and this and that. What? So for 25 years from now, I take my daughter to a game and somebody's wearing 17. I'm like, oh, well, they weren't supposed to be wearing 17 or maybe 18 or 16 because Doc would be more open to having his number 16 worn again. But let's say Soto wants to sign. Yeah, I'm going to sign with the Mets, but I want to wear number 41. Or whatever. Pick
Ooh,
one
I'm
of the
stay with the Yankees and I want number 3.
Yeah, okay. What are we going to do?
I'm going to give him number 3.
Yeah,
I'm giving 4 and 5 already.
I'm not doing that. Pat is in Belmar.
Take 6
What's
for
up,
Torrey,
Pat?
7 for Mickey, take 8 for Yogi. Take them all, buddy.
What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. Great show, by the way. A lot of good energy. I see both your sides, but it does happen. Something like, BT is right. Like, I never heard of the guy until Malik Neighbors wanted to use his number. But in a way, like, I look at the Yankees. There's so many. I think eventually they might run out of numbers to retire. And it's just like, where does it stop? Like, when are you supposed to retire it? But Jerry Rice, at the end of his career, he played for Seattle. Seahawks, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Scored a touchdown against the Jets.
Steve Largent. I just saw that one, right.
Yeah, Steve Largent. Steve Largent said, yeah, absolutely, you could use my number. I mean, that was no problem, but it's a very rare moment, but it does happen sometimes.
That's exactly the point, Pat, and thank you for the example there. That's the point. It shouldn't be a conversation. If you're a player and you go to an organization and you look at the list of retired numbers, that means you cannot wear those numbers. End of story. They're retired.
All right, I got a bigger gripe here. Speaking of jerseys and speaking of, you know, everybody waiting with opinions, look over your left shoulder.
Yeah. What?
A little more left. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
This?
No, that's 3 o'clock. Yeah,
the tiki thing.
I can't look at that all football season.
Oh, well, Tiki's wearing a
Jets jersey.
The Brees Hall jersey. Yeah.
Why is that up?
Has that been retired too? What's
no, it's Brees
this?
Hall.
Yeah.
I guess Brees gifted it to him. Now Tiki's.
No. Brees did not gift that.
Okay,
to him.
Okay, who's
gonna get? You didn't see what happened there?
No.
Evan gave it to him.
Evan gave the jersey to Tiki?
On the air, he said, oh, I got this jersey from being a season ticket holder member. Will you put this on?
Oh, is that what it was?
Will you wear this jersey?
And Tiki said yes?
Without hesitation, put it on.
Well,
I was like, what?
All right, so, I mean, just call for what is Tiki. Yeah. I got no problem saying Tiki's a beautiful man.
Yes.
He is a beautiful human being.
Physical specimen.
Perfect skin, body's amazing, beautiful white smile, happy disposition, smart guy, love him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at that thing all season.
Yeah, well.
And I'm not going to.
Yeah, well,
so,
what are you going to do?
It's going to be moved.
What? Is it because of Tiki?
It's going to be moved where I can't see it.
Tiki in a Jets jersey?
Yeah, of course. Not because it's Tiki, because it's Tiki in a Jets uniform. Yeah.
All right, well.
I mean, Tiki shouldn't want that up in here.
I know.
Come
on.
That's
probably why
and
Evan
shouldn't want him wearing it.
And he did. I was shocked. Evan texted me before. He goes, he was taking like a poll. Do you think Tiki's going to wear this Jets jersey? I was like, no way.
Yeah, he put it right on. He's like, sure, I'll wear it.
No problem.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Mike is in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Good
Welcome
movie.
Back, man. Welcome back.
Thank you. Did
Thanks,
you miss
man.
Us?
Oh, we missed you, man. I'm sure you did. Malusis used some big words, but nobody can acquiesce it like you guys, man. You can acquiesce it all day long, just like the Mets. We're acquiescing all the way to the playoffs, brother. I told you, Mendoza, okay, with his input. When he shut that door, this team took off. When he put Lindor in the leadoff spot, the season took off. You put a C on that kid's chest for next year, it's got to happen, man.
I want your opinion, though, on something Mike dropped in there. He said, put a C on Lindor's chest.
Yeah.
Obviously, Keith and Gary, Johnny Frankel, David Wright. That's it. Short history of captaincy for the Mets. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
I also, much like I said before about the manager of the year or the individual awards, I don't care about that. Even with the captain stuff. Like, I think with David Wright, he was special. I'm trying to think if it's just a Met thing or a Yankee thing. Like,
well, I think it's a sport thing. Like, yeah. I don't get, even Judge is the captain or Jeter. I don't get too wrapped up. You know, Nettles wasn't done. Mattingly,
right.
Randolph, you know, whatever. Guidry, I don't know.
Is it different with basketball? Like, I know the Knicks made named Brunson captain, but we all knew that anyway. Like,
but that was a nice public acknowledgement and coronation, if you will, based on his ascent.
Especially after he took less money. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I can't make a big deal of the captaincy, although I do think that he deserves it. All right, there you have it, caller of the day. And look, I've been talking about Lindor and the captain stuff, and that's what we've been talking about a lot throughout the course of the show, BT. Anything you missed, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Started the show talking about the Mets. We worked the Yankees in hour two, and we started turning our attention to football after we had Brian Baldinger on at 1240, so you can get all of that on the free Odyssey app here. Now, one thing before we get back to the calls, we're talking about Malik Nabers and the Giants unretiring number one, and what do you think? You know, for me, it's just I don't think it makes any sense to unretire numbers, period, where I know, BT, you disagree, but how about this? Calling the plays officially, Brian Daboll. Now, we knew that.
Yeah.
I feel like this is old news, but Daboll, I guess, today announced himself that he will be calling the plays for the Giants this upcoming season.
Not surprised. It's funny. I think Connor was on the station when we were off, and I think that he said something that I've kind of said that not everybody agrees with, which is fine, but I think that this is a bit of a make-or-break-it year for Brian Daboll, and I'm a huge fan. But when you have a really good year and then you have an ugly year, like they did a year ago, I'm not saying it's all his fault, and then you have, okay, I'm going to take control of the play call. Like, there's only so many more checkpoints.
Right.
The defensive coordinator, who I didn't get along with, he's gone. You know, I mean, again, I think Dable's a huge asset, but I think this is a massive year for him. I think some people are missing the boat with that.
Yeah, and well, I don't think he's going to get fired either way. I don't. If the Giants finish 3-14, I still don't think Dable's getting fired.
If it's ugly, well, again, I'm going to use the word combustible. Less about wins, more about the cohesion of the building.
Are they going to fire Shane and Dable or let Shane pick another head coach?
Hopefully neither, because I think both are going to be really good at their job. I'm just saying, I'm of the mindset.
Paint the worst case hypothetical scenario.
Listen, I think the Giants will be 7-10 this year. Right, 6-11, 7-10, best spot 8-9.
But if it falls apart, I still don't believe that. If the Giants fell off this year and was awful, 3-14, whatever bad record you want to throw out there, I still don't believe they'd fire the GM or the head coach.
And I think Belichick would be in.
Oh, no.
I honestly do. I do.
I just don't see it that way. Anyway, Dable calling the plays. I like that. Being
Me
in control.
Too.
Hey, if you're going to hire an offensive guy to be your head coach, you want him calling the plays. I mean, that's part of the appeal here. So he should be doing that, and he will be doing that. 888-808-1019. Brian is in Westchester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
How are you, Brian?
We're doing good. Just getting back to that last conversation you were having about the retired numbers. And, you know, I've always felt this way, and I don't know what your guys' take is on it, but, you know, I think obviously every sport, whether it's, you know, any of the major four sports, they're so quick to retire a number. I think all of this could be rectified if all of these organizations and all four of these major sports would simply reserve retiring numbers for legends. You could retire somebody's, you could put a plaque up, you could put their name in a ring of honor, you could do something else. But if you really reserve the right to retire a number to a legend, I think you would probably be in a better spot.
You might be, but here's where I'm going to push back. And I disagree a little bit here, because to me, the number hanging above, you know, whether it's in any venue, right? Hanging, you know, Yankees obviously don't hang as high as they do at the Garden, whatever. To me, it is about the emotions that fans get when they walk into a building and everything that's conjured up and the acknowledgement that they have with that player. So I'm going to use Carmelo. I would not retire Carmelo Anthony. And I know neither would
Me
Sal.
Either.
I will not retire number 7 from Nick Brzezinski. And I certainly wouldn't do it before they retire number 30 from Bernard King. But Randall's got 30, whatever, they'd have to work that out. That's just my opinion. But if they did do it, I don't know that I'd go kicking and screaming unless they ignored Bernard King forever. Because there's a large contingent of younger Nick fans who their main identity was that guy. And when they walk in, they look up, they see number 7, it makes them feel good. Who is somebody else to wait and say, well, that's not good enough? You need this standard. He's got to be a Hall of Famer, only a true legend of the game. Whatever.
Right.
It's defined by the teams.
That's right. So in 100 years from now or 90 years from now, you wouldn't have a problem with some young player saying, hey, you know what? 33 is my favorite number. Let me call the Ewing family, see if I could borrow that for a little bit.
It's okay.
Like, now, for Flaherty, it's not touching our emotions because it happened over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 1935, whatever. Yeah. We didn't even know who the guy was.
Yeah.
So it's great to have his family name out there, but what if it happened, you know, to somebody who watched that, it'd be a different story.
Is anybody even around that watched
that? So does that make it okay?
No, I'm not saying it makes it okay, but what I'm saying is...
Anybody watch Babe Ruth that's still living?
I actually think that there's still a few, not many.
Okay.
But... And this is just the way it is. There's a big difference between Mr. Flaherty and Babe Ruth.
Understood. So I'm just saying, man.
Just like there's a difference between Patrick Ewing.
So in 50 years from now, if somebody wants to unretire 33. Patrick from the Raptors.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about Melo. So
yeah, no, I got
33.
You. Am I going to love it? Now, is Patrick here in 50 years? If he's not,
he earned the right to have his number retired and never worn again.
I know. It doesn't move me emotionally the way it does you.
I
understand what you're saying.
I'll take it a step further. I don't even like when there's double numbers retired.
Yeah.
Like the Yankees have that with 1 and 8, right?
Number 8, sure, yeah. Number 1.
And the Rangers have it, is it with number 7? Oh, no, 9. Bathgate and Graves.
Yep.
And I just don't like even when you go and look at it, like, I don't know about Bathgate and his history. Obviously, I know about Graves, but when you see 2 number 9s being retired, it doesn't make sense.
But it does to Ranger fans. I don't think they got an issue with it when they go to the Garden. They look up and they see Bathgate number 9, Graves number 9. Who's complaining about that?
But one number
Nobody's
should be retired.
Complaining.
That's it. It shouldn't be worn again. And why do the Yankees have, I'm assuming because cross paths before the numbers were retired, right?
In
the number
in relation to
the 1 and 8, right? Wasn't it? Don't they have 2 numbers that were retired twice? The Yankees.
It's I believe it's
I thought it was
it's
one.
Yogi 8,
Bill Dickey and Yogi Berra for number 8,
and Billy Martin.
And Billy Martin.
I don't know the exact reason.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. There's only a number one, so it's just number eight? No, maybe I got that mixed up. No, 42 is a different story.
Well, not a jacket.
Yeah. All right, but then, so we don't know the story behind why eight was retired twice?
And you know what? We don't, not specifically off the top of my head, and I never even, I mean, I wouldn't say I never thought about it, but it doesn't bother
me.
Why
the hell did I think one was retired twice? Who the hell else was number one with
Yankees? There's so many, it's easy to, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of luminaries out there sounds easy to
another one retired. Steve is calling from Naples, Florida. What's up, Steve?
Steve-o.
Hey, guys, listen, I try to be optimistic about the Giants, but you got to put a lid on the Malik Nabers being a superstar business. Unless he's got someone to get him the ball, he's not going to be a superstar. And tell me, what quarterback has gotten 6 years? This is Daniel Jones' 6 year to prove himself.
Yep.
You're going nowhere until you get the quarterback. And if Bo Nix or Michael, or heaven forbid, Michael Penix gets on the field and pans out, they're just going to join Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson of the host and lineup of quarterbacks that the Giants have passed over and put us in quarterback purgatory for the past 10 years.
Yeah, which is why I said I hated the pick at the time, and thank you for the call, Steve. It's not an anti-Malik Nabers thing. It's the Giants need a quarterback thing, and when you pick that high, you better take a quarterback when you need one. They didn't. Now, look, maybe they'll be picking that high again, and they could get their quarterback. Maybe Nabers turns out to be the savior. I mean, I don't like building outside in. I think the Giants got sucked in on wanting an explosive playmaker, and they really needed the quarterback to build this thing the right way. That's why it's not anti-Nabers. It's anti-taking a wide receiver in that spot. I'm with the caller there, Steve. I think that they should have taken a quarterback.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, the thing, and they tried. I mean, they tried, but I give them credit. They didn't just say, and the Jets have gotten in trouble this way over the years, hey, we need a quarterback, when in reality, maybe the player that they really coveted wasn't there, and they reached, and that's, you know, even though I do think they really wanted Sam Darnold, that USC Pro Day definitely swayed them one way, and then I think Zach's pro workout, they swayed them as well. But I think that the hard thing to do is to not address a position of need. I think we all know the Giants will probably have a new quarterback next year. I think that that's a fairly common thought. So rather than reach or give up a crazy amount of equity to the Pats for a ridiculous, asinine asking price that would just leave you out in the woodshed for a couple of years. Yeah, you got your quarterback. You got nothing around them. He's got no premium picks. They sat, and they're just going to deal with the way they structured the contracts. 2 years, not overly punitive. If he stinks this year, he's gone. They draft the quarterback next year.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll finish up here on the phones. I know we talked a lot of baseball today, finish it up with football. We'll start to do a lot more football as we get closer to the games. You mentioned you had your fantasy draft. Did you do one fantasy league?
I did one yesterday, one tonight.
Oh, so you got two.
You know what I'm doing tonight?
What?
Wish me luck here. A couples league. I got pulled into this.
What?
Yeah, I got pulled into it like seven beers
get
deep.
Get the hell
out of
here.
I am.
Oh,
yeah,
my
but my wife
God.
Knows sports, and I think she likes more than yours.
No.
Yeah,
come on.
I know.
You're killing independent
in
BT.
No.
What?
Nah,
sometimes you stumble upon gold here. I had no idea you were going that way. I am.
I got to rail away if you want. Trust me. I'm surprised I'm doing it too.
Well, I was going to say, like, fantasy drafts, it's like, why do you have one on Labor Day? I know a lot of people do that, but it's annoying because you don't want to interrupt Labor Day. As you said yesterday, you got to deal with the pool stuff. Okay, whatever. That's one. Then the second part of the conversation, oh, man, I don't want any more than just one fantasy. Like, I barely want one. It's too much to handle. I'm already getting flooded, and I'm sure everybody's in the same boat here. Here comes the knockout pool picks and the survivor pool picks and the weekly pick'em pool pick. Join my pool. Fantasy this. Pool that. Picks this. It's already starting to become overwhelming. We haven't even gotten to game day yet.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, Friday, Sunday all day. But now you bring up a new element that I've never heard of before.
Really?
Couples?
Yeah.
A couples league?
Yeah.
What, for bonding?
I didn't come up with the concept. We were just invited. I did.
Was it Jen who joined first and then you got sucked in?
No. Even if I didn't want to do it, and I'm, believe it or not, I'm looking forward to it, kind of. Kind
of. You can agree on the draft picks?
Well, Daddy's going to win that one.
Oh, well, that's all there is to it.
No, no. See, I already know going in what it's you know, this guy or that guy. Yeah. It's going to be my guy.
And then you have to live with the second guessing.
Which no, there'll
be, like,
be none.
See, I told you to draft this guy, and you're going to be like, nah,
she doesn't know that.
What do you mean? She was giving you crap about Zach Wilson last year.
She was. She kept saying, this guy stinks. Why do you? She kept, for those 2 minutes, she's like, why do you support this guy on the radio? He stinks. She was right about that one.
Yeah, how'd that one go
and
down?
And she did say last night, as long as they get a couple of Cowboys, I'm happy. She did say that.
See, already.
Although that could be a little issue tonight.
Already, she's going to want Dak. Yeah. You're going to want Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I would have preferred Jalen Hurts, a dual threat, or Josh Allen.
Who started it? Well, this was one of your
buddies? Our good friends in town. We're very good friends with, you know, he coaches my son. It's my son's best friend's dad. Both me and him, or he and I, have become very tight. Our wives are very close. We're with them all the time. So even if I didn't want to do it, they asked us together. Am I going to say, oh, I want to get back to you? No, I don't know. Like I was,
say no. A couples league? What is this?
Kind of said yes to placate him. And then we got the follow-up email. Like, oh, I think this is a real thing.
I'm not saying
I was fully gung-ho about it.
You do a little dinner for draft tonight? What do we got?
No, I'm just going to sit there, probably pour myself a little scotch. You know, nothing
and
nuts.
And Jen's going to partake in the draft?
She'll be next to me. I'll be making the picks. Ew. I mean, she'll be over my shoulder pretending she's involved. But
God.
It's my show, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the difference. It's my show.
Are you sure about
at
that?
At least the first pick is going to be my show. We'll see. It's not a lot of money. Like, if this was like my fantasy baseball has gotten to the point where it's pretty expensive.
Right.
You know, so, like, if she was involved in that, we can't. Now, this is business.
Right.
This is just fun.
I guess if that's your idea of fun. I've never heard of it. Hop, have you ever heard of a couples league before for fantasy?
No chance.
BT, you might be, like, this is...
Really?
I'm pretty sure in all my years of playing fantasy, dating back to, probably 2003, I don't think I've ever heard of a couples league before.
Well, it's the first time I'm doing it. Might be the last if it doesn't go well. But I do think it's a little bit more of a growing trend. What's up, Pop?
I got to be honest. I thought the reason why we do fantasy is to get away from the wives.
We do. Honestly, we do. That's why we do them.
It's one escape.
I
didn't want to say it, Hop.
Well, no, he's right. I've said it.
Well, I'm just
saying.
That's
why I can't wait. Like, the fantasy baseball, my team stinks every year. Because I'm in the house all winter. I'm like, I could go draft, play cards, get drunk, and get away. I've coached basketball, winter baseball workouts. I haven't had a day off in 3 or 4 months with football. Like, I haven't seen most of them all winter. I'm just going to get smashed, and I don't care. After the first 5 picks, I don't care who I draft.
Right.
That's a day out. This is different.
I will say that you've managed to do the impossible now. Because normally I couldn't give a crap less. I barely care about my own team. I certainly don't care about everybody else's team. Oh, I did this and that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm now intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. I know nobody cares about my team, but I found a way to.
I'm intrigued.
You gonna follow this now?
All year long. I can't wait to see how it plays out. Now, it may die a quick death. Maybe she doesn't care about it. Maybe you don't care about it.
No, she will. And
Jen's a gamer. That's what I'm saying.
She's definitely no pushover.
Could be some dissension in the front office. Yeah.
She got a backbone. It's Daddy's team.
Ooh, you heard that, Jen? BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Ed is calling from Hamden. What's up, Eddie?
Eddie!
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
How are you? What's up, buddy?
I wanted to join in on your retired number argument, but I wasn't sure on what side I fell on. So I'm listening to you guys argue back and forth, and I'm thinking, man, you guys argue so well that I can't believe I can't argue like that with my wife.
Honestly, I wish I argued as well with my wife as I do with Sal, and I'm sure I can speak for him as well. It's easier with us.
That's exactly where I came down on this whole thing. And you guys, you have fact-based opinions. And you present your opinions, and you argue both sides of whatever issue it is, and both of you are so good at taking the facts, forming an opinion, and presenting an argument, and you don't argue your opinion as if it is a fact. And I happen to appreciate that. I had to call you and tell you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that very much. Thank you for the call.
What was it with that voice?
I mean,
that you drop it, Hop. You know what I mean? That different. I don't know. I can't explain
I don't even know how to do it.
How did he? What did he say? How did he do it?
Well, yeah, he's got a thing about him.
Yeah, it's
sometimes
like
he drops in something really cute like this, and then he gets great.
Okay. We all know that, but it's almost like
I told you one of my
try to feign humility. I can't explain it. It's just a different cadence.
One of my English teachers called my mother complaining because I was reading a book. You know, you get to it was like ninth grade or whatever. And you'd have to read out loud in the class, which I didn't really like.
I used to love doing that. Well, I used to raise my hand.
She's like, your son, she's talking like that, Miss Capabianco. Your son talks he puts on a different voice when he's reading the.
Sounds like Mr. Capabianco, yeah. Whatever. No, you sure it's a miss?
It was Mrs. Cap. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I mean, a lot of years you make have gone her by, sound, so who knows? No, but
yeah. No, you saw it.
She had a raspy voice, yeah. But anyway, I don't even know that I do it sometimes. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Now, I would like an opinion, your opinion on it, with some facts behind it. But either way, we do appreciate the compliment.
We're always here to take compliments.
Russell is from West Islip. What's up, Russell?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Russ.
I just want to tell you, I agree with the other caller. Ed, you guys are my favorite show. I never miss an episode. Your chemistry is amazing. Unretired numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Unretired numbers. I think that, like, let's say Juan Soto wanted to wear number 2 because he loves Derek Jeter and he wants to stay a Yankee.
Yeah,
and he went to Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter said, yeah, it would be an honor for you to play for the next 15 years with my number.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, how would you feel about that?
Yeah. I would hate it.
Thank you for the call, Russell. I would have an issue with Soto asking. I don't think that you should ever be putting a retired. Like, if you're one player to another, and I know that there's a major, you know, lifespan or two in the Flaherty family to where Neighbors is at right now.
Three.
But
really,
a player should respect what the other player did to not even think about that. Like, would Neighbors want that done to him one day? And maybe he doesn't care about it. I can't put myself in those shoes, but I wouldn't think that I would care that much to where if a young kid was like, hey, man, I really want this number, I'd be like, sure, what the hell do I care? But it's not supposed to be my decision or his decision. It's the number's retired for a reason. When a number gets retired, it means it should never be worn again.
I understand that. But I see it a little differently. I don't need to reset everything. We just see it fundamentally a little bit differently. I think if the young man showed early signs of real character, that would absolutely sway my opinion. Right. I'd be honored to pass that torch. That's how I am.
Which he's shown so far.
No
right?
question. Yeah. No question. Let me ask you this, though. Here's the watch. Let's see where Sal is on this one. The ultimate test. All right. King Cohen comes with the big contract, right? The trumpets, the red carpet, the whole deal. And Soto says, I want 41.
Yeah, I say, no way.
Wait. You would not say,
I say
no
go
way.
Scratch no, is what
not.
I say.
No way.
You think I would ever, and I never even watched Seaver, but I understand.
What if Tom Seaver's wife
is the
said,
franchise.
What if, I know Tom's not here to do it himself, unfortunately. What if his wife or child said, this is a great honor, and something our dad would want.
If the Mets ever did that, I honestly would be disgusted with that. And that's me who, I'm not saying I wasn't a Seaver fan, but he wasn't in my wheelhouse at all.
Yeah, you didn't say
it. I don't think you could do that. As a matter of fact, I would be so turned off by Soto, I wouldn't even want to offer him the contract then. I'm not saying that about Neighbors.
I know
I'm just saying
not.
In
I
general.
Know you're not. I got you.
The retired number.
If you believe him?
Come on, of
with
course.
With the Seaver stuff? I don't.
If for Soto? No.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Soto. No, Seaver was first. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Same place, same time. Good to be back.
Yeah.
We'll talk some more football, some Mets, Yankees postseason. Everything on the table. That does it for us. Thank you, Dove. Thank you, Hoff. Everybody who called and listened, we appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.